Well, the days are turning into weeks, the weeks are turning into months, and it only seems like a couple of days ago we were talking to Alex Graham and Sarah Tucker from CKLG. They're on the line again. Hello to you both.
Hello.
So how are we getting on? A month on the line, last time we spoke you were sort of starting to get back into the office and starting to try and head towards normal. Where are you at now at CKLG, Sarah?
We are still where we were, but what we are now doing is we're trying to adapt the office so we can all get back and work safely and comply with that sort of 2 metre social distancing. Whilst we're happy to obviously talk to clients, contacts, etc. over Zoom and Teams still, and obviously the good old-fashioned telephone, if anybody does want to come into the office and meet us in a very safe way, then they're more than welcome. So certainly, you know, for us, the office is open now 9 to 5, 5 days a week as usual. But if you do want to come in, then do give us a buzz and make an appointment just so we can make sure that we're in the right place at the right time.
But it's so scary, isn't it, when you actually have a meeting with somebody. It's like going back to pubs and things now. It's almost unreal, isn't it? You feel so sort of strange when you're actually in a room with people.
I'm missing everybody, actually. For me, I like to be around people, so I sort of found it quite isolating. So I'm looking forward to sort of getting back in and get going again.
Yeah, indeed. All right, well, let's start with you, Alex, because you're the kind of business expert at CKLG on this. Uncertain times, and the headlines every day are just filled with another load of closures, another load of job losses. And it doesn't seem to be just the events industry, does it?
No, I mean, obviously, latest announcement from the figures is that the company's had 2 quarters of decline, so it's in recession, but I think that was kind of expected, almost just waiting for those figures to come through. And obviously there is uncertain times for businesses. I mean, one of the things that we've seen over the last sort of 5 months is the ones that have been able to be on top of their finance functions, be on top of their finances, knowing what's going on, have been able to sort of weather things a lot easier. Like some people who we're having discussions with that actually, due to the uncertainty, there's potential sort of cash flow pinches at certain times, and being able to sort of see forwards, it's helping. And that's the sort of whole thing with when you've got uncertain times, it's needing to be able to really look forward and try and identify where the issues are. I mean, that's why a lot of sort of, especially the larger businesses, have started putting job losses and started making redundancies, because it's really quite uncertain about what's going to happen next.
Yeah, sure. Now, I mean, it strikes me as well that there was this whole thing about there was a slow move to the cloud happening over the past couple of years, but there were some companies who were fighting tooth and nail against doing it. And it really, that proves to have been that the ones who had migrated towards the cloud in some ways, that seems to have helped, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where a lot more businesses started to sort of end up going down that route when MTD making tax digital for VAT came in. One of the things that's really highlighted during the last 5 months of disruption, people having to move remotely, is those businesses that really embraced the cloud technologies have been far easier to carry on trading, carry on being more flexible. And even for us internally, back in March when we needed to make the decision to suddenly all leave the office and go remote, due to having those cloud technologies in, made it far easier for us to still be connected to clients, still carry on working. And actually, for businesses that can really manage their finance functions in the cloud plus other management tools, it does mean that part of it can give the flexibility, the enable to remote work better. And also, it's that sort of how part of disaster recovery contingency planning enables you to sort of carry on working as things might change quite rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that about disaster recovery, business continuity. Everyone in the past always assumed that was what happens if the office burns down or if the office floods. No one really saw this coming, but it's exactly the same effect, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can have it where if you just had all your data on one site and you couldn't access anything remotely, all of a sudden it's like, well, how are you going to carry on working? Where when everything, if you've got systems connected in the cloud, it doesn't really matter where you are, you could carry on working. I mean, even if you'd got to the point, if you had the right equipment with you and you happens to have been in quarantine in another country, if you've got the cloud systems, you could even carry on sort of working. So yeah, it does really enable that whole flexibility to sort of enable a sort of business to carry on.
And for you guys, for accountants, I'm guessing it gives you access as well to customers' systems. You can pull up those reports. You can give much more real-time advice, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, especially as things have been uncertain. I mean, there's a number of clients where we speak to them on a fairly regular basis looking at things, and it does enable us to actually have if you can get that data up to date and it's live as it best it can be, you can actually have far better conversations and being able to make better decisions, because if we've got that data in front of us, we can then actually be highlighting issues for clients. Like, it could be that there's actually the way things are going at the moment, if nothing changes, there's going to be a cash flow pinch in 3 or 4 months' time. What things need to change? Either they're going to need to possibly look at funding, look at are the sales going to be able to increase, or what's going to happen. So that's a real key part of being able to make better decisions.
Okay. And what sort of signs are you seeing on the horizon? Obviously, you said, you know, everyone was expecting that we were going to be technically in a recession, because if you shut the economy down, that's going to happen. But looking forward over the next few months, how's it looking to you guys?
I mean, it really does depend on the types of business. I mean, we've got some clients in certain industries that are actually doing quite well. We've got others that have really struggled, where, you know, pretty much their industry's been sort of shut down, and actually it's going to take longer. I mean, that's one of the sort of things that's going to happen when the furlough scheme looks like still planning on coming to an end at the end of October, is what happens with those businesses that are still struggling, because there's probably going to be decisions that are going to need to be made by some of those, on the basis that if that furlough scheme isn't extended, what are they going to do? Is their industry going to be picking up by that point, or are there going to have to be some changes to be made?
And I'm guessing this would be a good point for people to talk to people like you, wouldn't it? Because this is uncharted territory, but at least you guys, you've got more experience on this, and you're seeing a wider range of businesses and industries that are being affected. So I'm thinking now's perhaps a good time to be talking to guys like you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we, speaking with businesses, and especially the clients that we always make ourselves available to discuss things, that if some business is trying to sort of go it alone, having a good advisor there to help sort of weather this uncertain times, whether the recession, enabling either people to make better decisions, or even having the comfort of someone with sort of financially literate backgrounds to be able to make sense of what's happening with the business finances.
Absolutely. All right, well, I've got Alex Graham and Sarah Tucker from CKLG on the line. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and have a chat with Sarah about round two of the Self-Employed Income Support Scheme. Welcome back. I've got Sarah Tucker and Alex Graham from CKLG Accountants on the line. We've been talking about how businesses have been coping in what is technically a recession at the moment. Sarah, let's turn to you. The self-employed have had a bit of better news this week, haven't they?
They have, yes. Those who are carrying out businesses that have been adversely affected by coronavirus, they should actually by now have had an email from HMRC to invite them to apply under the second round of the Self-Employment Income Support Scheme grant. We can't help them do it, sadly, but we can help them get the numbers together, because again, it's previously it was 80% of average monthly profits over a 3-year period. This time it's 70%. So the maximum claim that can be made under this grant is £6,570. What's interesting actually is that, you know, on HMRC's website, there's a lot of definitions to help clients determine how their business has been adversely affected. Because, of course, if false and fraudulent claims are made, then HMRC will be after you. Mm. So it is worth having a look. And of course, the claim has to be made. It's out there at the moment. It's up and running. And you have to make your claim by the 19th of October. But the key is at the time you make your claim, you have to be happy that your business is still adversely affected by coronavirus. So just, you know, if you are self-employed and your business has been affected, when I say self-employed, that is, you know, sole traders, one-man bands, those of you that are running your business through a partnership, just go onto HMRC's website and make the claim. It's this help that's out there to get you through these difficult times.
But let's be very clear, this is all based upon what you file as a tax return, isn't it? An awful lot of small, limited companies, they tend to do it in a tax-efficient way, is perhaps the way to say it, that they pay themselves a small salary, but then they pay a dividend. And that has always been the thing, hasn't it? That doesn't quite sit right with how this scheme works.
No, that's right. This self-employed income support scheme is purely for those that are genuinely self-employed. And when I say that, it's those that are running their businesses through as an unincorporated business, so not a limited company. Those that have organised their affairs, and a lot of taxpayers have, where they're running their business through a limited company and they're paying themselves a small salary and then dividends, they would have to effectively furlough themselves. And of course, if their salary's been small, then there's not much to be had, especially as the furlough scheme now is being phasing out, as Alex said, will be gone by the end of October at the moment. But yes, it's, you know, if you are genuinely self-employed, there is a bit more support out there for you.
Okay. Now, we've been talking about working from home, and it does seem that it really is the new norm, and moving forward, it I can't see any jump. Certainly, I'm getting very comfortable here in my home office. I can't see is it going to change anytime soon. Might need a new chair. What sort of stuff, things like that, a new chair. What if you're working from home, presumably there are things you can claim for.
Yes, there are. Well, there's kind of two parts to this, Neil, in that at the moment we can claim a fixed rate deduction of £6 per week, and that is to cover the increased running costs of our home. So it's our utility bills, etc. Nothing to do with mortgage payments, council tax, because they're obviously fixed payments that would be the same irrespective. But you can claim this £6 per week either through your tax return form, if you do a tax return form on the employment pages, or you claim online again and you Google P87. That's the magic form. And what HMRC, you don't have to justify this, claiming this £6 a week in any shape or form. It is an automatic deduction. You claim it and HMRC will include the deduction through your tax code. So you'll get an immediate reprieve from tax on it. It's not much, but every little helps.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to claim more, if you feel that you have incurred a terrific, amount of extra costs, you can do, but it's complicated and it will take you forever to put something together. But it is possible, but you've got to have a lot of substantive evidence to be able to do that. Going back to your question about your new chair. yes.
My lazy boy that I can see me getting.
And why not? Now, if you incur capital expenditure, like a new chair or a new computer, etc. Now, if that has been provided by your employer, there's no benefit in kind on it up until April 2021. Now, normally there would be, unless what has been bought for you is wholly provided for business purposes and you're not going to use it personally at all. So at the moment, we at CKLG have got our computer set up at home. We've got obviously our computers all set up at the office as well. We won't get any benefit in kind tax on the value of these items, certainly up to April 2021 and even beyond then, if we know definitely that there's no private use. So that, again, there is relief for capital items that are bought for you by your employer, or if you buy them and you ask your employer to reimburse you.
Okay, quick trick question for you. I know I don't normally do those, but one or two people I know have said, well, I've had to upgrade my broadband to be able to work from home. What about that? Because you think, oh, yeah, so you get better Netflix while you're working. Is that? And that's kind of the problem, isn't it?
Well, it is, because, again, that's not wholly for business purposes. Sure. So I think, do the £6 per week, or you could, if you want to try and have a go at justifying that it is wholly exclusively and necessarily incurred for either your business or your employment, then give it a go. But it's not an easy one.
Okay. All right. Now, we're in the middle of a stamp duty holiday at the moment, aren't we? And have we seen any effects on that? Have we seen if that's had the desired effect to sort of bump start the housing market?
We have actually, but I think it's not necessarily bump starting the housing market, but it's for investors, funnily enough, because at the moment up to 500,000, there could be a £15,000 stamp duty saving on an investment property. So we have certainly seen through our work with land agents that there's been an increased demand for investment property. And I think that the message I want to sort of get across to people out there at the moment, that there's, whether you're buying an investment property, maybe as a furnished holiday home that you're going to maybe occasionally use yourself, but you're going to let it as a furnished holiday home, or a traditional buy to let, the tax treatment of both of those are very, very different. A furnished holiday let arrangement is treated more like a trade, whereas a traditional sort of buy to let is just, it's an investment property, and it has a sort of we have to sort of calculate the profit in a very different way. So again, don't just jump in if you're, you know, interested in, you're buying these properties and you're going to let them all out. Just seek some tax advice beforehand as to how to maybe set it up properly. And of course, keep a note of all the expenses that you're incurring even prior to its purchase, because there should be some relief for them, either against capital gains tax in the future or against income tax against the rents.
Oh, there you go. That's some interesting advice. I hadn't thought of doing the holiday cottages. And that, interestingly, because, I mean, the rental market, we're a lot of people being made redundant and things like that. You know, rental market is a bit risky, I guess, in some areas and in some ways.
It is, yes, that's right. But it, you can actually sort of understand with all this staycation, nobody's bothering.
Suddenly the UK's never sent more attractive, has it?
Unbelievably busy on the coast, and you know, I suspect actually we're going to see a real boom in people with holiday cottages, etc.
All right, interesting stuff. Well, Sarah and Alex, thank you very much indeed, as always, for joining us this morning. We'll join you again next month, and we'll see just how this story has unfurled over the next 4 weeks. But for now, thanks very much indeed for joining us.